What happens to the believer who falls into sin? That's what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. It's going to be worth it. We're in a series called Hebrews, Partners with Christ. And this series is based on a brand new book by Dr. Kenneth Yates. We're really excited to have Ken in the studio with us for the duration of this series. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Dr. Kenneth Yates. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
And we are in the studio with Reverend Dr. Lieutenant Colonel Retired Yates. Is that right?
Chaplain Yates.
Chaplain Yates.
Well, that's much more than I deserve. Thank you. But you can just refer to me as Ken.
Ken. All right. Ken. Well, Ken has written this dynamite commentary on Hebrews. What I'm excited about this book, Ken, is that it has really opened up the book of Hebrews to me. And I think it'll really open up the book of Hebrews to the average person who cares about the Bible, who wants to study the Bible. I think your book is just pitched at just the right level for them to be able to read it and really benefit from this book. We were talking before about just doesn't seem that Hebrews is all that popular as a source of preaching material. You don't really hear sermons about Hebrews very much. Isn't that right, Bob?
Yeah. I've been in Bible churches for years and years, and I can probably count on one hand the number of sermons I've heard on Hebrews, except in free grace circles.
Right. And so, Ken, why is that? Why do you think people are intimidated by the book of Hebrews?
There's a number of reasons. One is the situation of the original readers is probably very hard for people to relate to. They were Jewish Christians, and most of us do not come from that background. And the subjects that the author talks about, like Melchizedek, how many people know who Melchizedek is in our churches, or who would be interested in knowing who Melchizedek was? And it talks about sacrifices in the temple and the tabernacle, and it's hard to relate to that, I think, for a lot of people. Or it's hard to put themselves in the shoes of the original readers.
This book would make complete sense to someone who grew up in Judaism of the day with the sacrifices and the priests and all the allusions to all those. I mean, Hebrews so far, we're just in the third chapter, but already themes from the Old Testament are so deeply intertwined into this text that if that wasn't your world, you'd probably be a little baffled.
Yes, and I also think that the warning passages are so strong that it scares people. That was certainly my attitude toward the book when I was a new believer. I found this book very scary.
It depends on your theology. If you come from a background, and a lot of Christians do, where you think that salvation is something that can be won or lost on any given day, maybe you can get saved and unsaved all throughout the day, maybe. The idea that you can lose your salvation forever can be very scary. That's a very scary thought. But thankfully, we know that's impossible, that when you believe in Jesus for everlasting life, you get a life that is everlasting, and you shall never perish. That
right.
Once you're in His hand, Jesus' hand and the Father's hand, right? Once you have everlasting life, you can never lose it. So whatever the warning passages are about, they're not about losing everlasting life.
That's exactly right. And when you get to Hebrews 10, one of the ironies of the book is that the author of Hebrews certainly believed in once saved, always saved, that you could not lose eternal life. And instead of being a scary book, this is a highly motivational book.
So let's summarize what we've found so far. We have these Jewish Christians who are at risk of returning to Judaism because they're undergoing a lot of persecution. And maybe there's even some fear of death there. There's certainly a desire to avoid persecution. They might want to go back to Judaism. And the author has been saying, listen, you don't want to do that. One, Jesus is far greater than anything that was in Judaism. He completes it. It all pointed to Him, and He just fulfills it all. But secondly, He's defeated death. You shouldn't even be afraid of death anymore because of the resurrection. And thirdly, yes, you're going through persecution and suffering, but that's necessary in order to become partners or metakoi with Christ.
Yes, and how exciting it is to, as we've seen, follow in Christ's footsteps. When I suffer, when I'm suffering for Him, that's what I'm doing. I'm following in His footsteps. As we saw previously, He's our captain. He's the one who paved the way for us. Well, if the road He walked involves suffering, why should it surprise any of us and these original readers that they're going through suffering as they remain faithful to Him?
Now, if you suffer for Jesus, you get this possibility of being a co-heir with Him, reigning with Him. Well, at the beginning of chapter 3, the author started comparing Jesus with Moses, and he was referring to this event in Israel's history when they were about to cross into the promised land that they're supposed to cross into, and then something happened.
Yes, at Kadesh Barnea, the people failed to trust in God when God said he would get them through the difficulties that they faced. You may remember that when the 12 spies came back, 10 of them said, oh, there's no way we can defeat these enemies. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. They're like giants. And there's no way we can defeat these enemies. And you can see how this relates to the original readers. They were surrounded by the enemies of God, and some of them at least thought it was hopeless. But the whole point of the book of Hebrews is that God is faithful, and he will deliver you through this in whatever way he's going to do that, but he's going to, and that they should continue to trust in him, even if it involves death, by the way, because that's what Christ did. Christ went through death, and he paved the way for us, and God highly exalted him. And again, there's no need to fear even that.
All right, well, let's continue our study of the chapter in 3, and I'll go to verse 15, which we covered last episode.
And we're in the third chapter, but we're in the second warning passage.
This is the second warning.
Which is 3:7 to 4:16. And so we'll be looking at 15 through 19 now.
Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So God had made all these promises to Israel to deliver them out of Egyptian slavery and to bring them into the promised land. And for some reason, Israel hardened their hearts, and they rebelled against God, and they suffered the consequences.
Yes, and we see a couple things, as we saw in the previous session as well. This is not a reference to hell. None of these people went to hell because they disobeyed the Lord there, or they were not willing to trust in him in the midst of facing these huge obstacles. As the author of Hebrews says here, they died in the wilderness. And so there was consequences for their disobedience. But this is an illustration of the people of God, and as we've seen throughout all of these episodes, the idea that a believer or a person who is a child of God cannot fall away, cannot fail to trust in God when he is faced with difficulties, is a fairy tale. But there's a lot of people who come to the book of Hebrews saying that. It's a real possibility. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, don't be like them. You can be like them, but you don't have to be.
I also notice in verse 17, we talked before about, there are some people who think, we call them hyper-grace, and they believe that God just is never angry with his people, never chastises his sons and daughters. You always have the very best relationship possible with God. He's just always happy with you. And, you know, God is not angry with you. That's the good news that they say. If so, that just totally undercuts these verses here, right? Because in verse 17, he says, now, with whom was he angry 40 years? God was angry with his children.
That's a great point. And when I teach overseas occasionally, this hyper-grace, you see that even overseas, this idea that there are no consequences for sins, even in the life of a believer. And you can see how the pendulum can swing from you can lose your salvation to one side to the other side is, oh, God doesn't care if you sin. That's not what we're saying. It's true you cannot lose your eternal salvation from hell, but disobedience to the Lord carries severe consequences. It did at Kadesh Barnea, and it will for the readers of Hebrews if they do not remain faithful to the Lord in the midst of the enemies they were facing.
It reminds me of Romans chapter 1 where Paul talks about the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is not something that ended at the cross. The wrath of God continues after the cross, and it's shown against sin. And Paul says that this gospel is the power of God for salvation from this wrath. And so do you think that links up with what the author of Hebrews is saying here?
Well, yes, the author of Hebrews will talk later in another warning passage about God is angry when his people sin. And so sin invites the discipline, the anger of God directed toward that sin. And that is exactly what we see at Kadesh Barnea towards his people. And as we discussed in the previous episode, now there were certainly people within the nation of Israel who were not believers, but there were certainly people who were believers who had believed in the coming Messiah. But as a whole, they are used as an illustration as the people of God. And you can see that God disciplines his people here at Kadesh Barnea.
Right, because he brought them out of Egypt. He redeemed them from Egypt. They were all brought out. And yet what's interesting in verses 18 and 19, he says two different reasons why they couldn't enter. In verse 18, he says, but to those who did not obey. But then in verse 19, it says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Why does it say not obey in one verse and did not believe in the next verse?
Well, I think we could say they did not obey what God told them to do. God told them to go into the land and do it, and they disobeyed him, and they did not believe that he was going to do what he said he was going to do, which was to defeat his enemies, is the way I would understand that.
So they didn't obey because they didn't believe the promise to give them rest over their enemies.
That's exactly right.
And in the same way for us today, if we don't believe that he's going to reward us and he's going to give us a co-inheritance with Christ, well, then that has an impact on our entering into his rest.
Well, I also want to notice there's two consequences mentioned here. One, in verse 17, they became corpses in the wilderness. That's one consequence.
That's right.
And the second consequence is they didn't get to enter the rest.
Exactly. The rest from their work, the inheritance in the land that we've seen in the book. And to pick up on your point, Bob, in chapter 11, he's going to say, to please God, we must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. They did not believe that at Kadesh Barnea.
Well, thanks, Ken. Again, it's exciting to see the book of Hebrews come to life. We're now halfway through the second warning, and in the next show, we're going to go into chapter 4, the remainder of the second warning. Hold fast, and you too will become a partner with Christ in the life to come and rule with him forever.
Thank you guys for that encouraging discussion on one of Hebrews' warning passages. Would you like to dig into Hebrews in a serious way? Well, you can do that with Dr. Kenneth Yates' new book, Hebrews Partners with Christ. To get a copy for yourself, go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You can click on the store button, or you can just type the title into the search bar. In addition to this, we have all kinds of free resources like our magazine called Grace in Focus. Our magazine is a full-color, beautifully laid out, six times a year magazine that if you subscribe, it is completely free and it will show up in your mailbox, no hassle, no obligation. This magazine and all of our materials on our website, it's designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. By the way, we would love to hear from you. I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us with comments or feedback. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to investigate the topic of rest and what it means to enter into God's rest. So tune in for that. It promises to be quite interesting. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.